And, you know, this is a moment of joy. So celebrate this moment of joy.
Yeah.
Because we've earned it. Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to a special reaction episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewire News Group podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that is so excited that we have Hal-Nav. Hal-Nav? I said Hal-Nav.
Hal-Nav.
We Hal-Nav a justice who is a black woman. We now have a justice who's a black woman, and her name is Ketanji Brown Jackson. Woo! She is a justice. I'm so excited. I can't even speak properly, but I can tell you my name, and it's Imani Gandhi, and I can tell you my title. It's Rewire News Group Senior Editor of Law and Policy.
And I'm Jess Piclo, Rewire News Group's executive editor. Rewire News Group is the one and only home for expert repro journalism that inspires you to not let them steal your joy, to enjoy this moment. It is history. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Woo!
And the Boom Lawyered podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners.
I just want to say that in the script right now, it says Imani colon reaction to confirmation hearing in general. And that reaction is, oh my God, I'm so excited. Like, that's my reaction in general. For a more like cogent thing. I'll say this cogently. It is very, very important that we now have a black woman who is a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Who's going to be there alongside Sotomayor and Kagan writing dissents, because that's the position that they're in now. They are liberal justices who are in the minority. And so their dissents are going to become majority opinions, not in my lifetime, which is fine, but in the future. And I love the future. I believe the children are our future. If we teach them well, we just let them lead the way.
What a day.
Such an important day.
What a
day.
Moment.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, it just feels like good, and we should just hold on to that, because
we should.
I don't know when it's going to feel this good again.
It's going to be a while. Like, Vice President Kamala Harris.
That moment.
Right? Like, she's presiding over the confirmation of the first black woman Supreme Court justice. That, just saying that, just made me tingle a little bit. Like, that's such an exciting thing to say and to be witness to. I was just very excited. Cory Booker was also very excited.
He didn't even need a mic. That man used his outside voice.
He was like,
It was so wonderful.
It really was.
Especially, and so I have to ask you this. Was there like, I mean, it's great to be on the other side of this, but was there ever a moment like, were you worried? Did you think, wow, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe this isn't going to happen.
Nah.
I love that. I love that you are like, nope, this is happening. I don't care. Hell or high water, it's happening.
I knew it was going to happen. I knew there were going to be a couple of Republicans who just wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of history, right?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to have it written down in history books that they sided with the jackasses who tried to paint this woman as a pedophile, or
right,
at least as someone who has affinity for pedophiles and child predators. I don't think Murkowski wants her name attached to that crap. Apparently Mitt Romney is freaking arising out of the ashes as a somewhat reasonable Republican, to the extent that is a thing that exists. So,
yeah,
I wasn't worried at all.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how nasty some of these Republicans got. Like, I was wondering ahead of time, like, what are they going to try to do? I thought that maybe they were just going to focus on her being a public defender and how she's soft on crime. I didn't think they were going to go as far as to suggest that she likes murder, which
right?
is essentially what they said. I mean,
she's like, murder's kind of cool on a Thursday,
I mean,
isn't it, Judge Jackson?
Do you think murder's good, or do you think murder is bad? Yes or no? I mean, it's absurd.
So for folks who may not have been able to, you know, catch the vote or whatnot, what Imani said is absolutely true. There were some Republicans who crossed the aisles and voted with Democrats to confirm Justice Jackson. The final vote was 53-47 in favor of confirmation, with Collins, Murkowski, and Senator Mittens all joining the forces of good there. Senator Amazing. Collins doesn't get any cookies, though.
No,
Sorry.
She doesn't get any cookies. She's like,
no cookies for Collins.
No cookies for Collins. I'll give Murkowski a cookie, and I'm going to give Mittens a cookie, because for about a year now, you know, he's not my favorite dude, but out of all the dudes that are there screwing up the government, he's one of the better ones.
I guess.
Mean, if you have to have a bad person doing not so terrible things, I mean, it's hard to say. Republicans are just so far outside the norm of what people want,
yeah,
in terms of polling, right? That it's just anyone who isn't some sort of Marjorie Greene Taylor, Lori Boebert sycophant is like fine with me. At this point.
Do you think at one point Mittens had Judge Jackson in his binder?
Remember his binder full of women? Do you think he has a separate binder just for black women?
Probably. Honestly, if we're being honest,
but equal binders.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Okay, but let's bring it back on the rails a little bit, right? So what happens next? What's going to go?
Core reform!
Okay. Okay, I didn't even have to really get that question out.
That's what has to happen.
Yeah,
we
why?
We cannot wait. We absolutely cannot wait. We have so much nonsense afoot that, like, if progressives and Democrats do not understand the importance and the reality of this moment. I mean, we have Senator Mitch McConnell, for example, today with his own mouth saying that, you know, Justice Jackson, I'm just going to keep saying Justice Jackson as much as I can because that feels good, that Justice Jackson, you know, is a candidate of dark money and part of this, you know, plan to expand the court and like politicize it, within the same breath as saying that should Republicans retake the Senate after the midterms, he's not really so sure that they'd take up another Biden Supreme Court nominee. So again, acknowledging that Republicans are fine shrinking the size of the court whenever it meets their own political means, but, you know, painting court reform broadly as, I don't know, some like tool of anti-democracy is ridiculous.
It's a communist plot.
I mean, and the whole Clarence and Ginny Thomas thing, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Come on, we need court reform. It is great to have this moment. Justice Jackson is going to do amazing things in moving the law forward into a truly progressive space with Justice Sotomayor. But none of that's going to stick if we don't reform the courts.
That's true.
So I have a question for you.
Yes, hit me.
So, you know, I love the inner workings of the Supreme Court. I get mm-hmm. into all of that nerdery, the like, you know, palace intrigue. And so the justices are close with one another. And typically, you know, the liberal justices often have like a conservative buddy, right? Like someone that they sit with at lunch.
My buddy.
Oh, my God.
My buddy and me like to climb up a tree.
So who do you think is going to be Justice Jackson's conservative buddy? Is she going to tuck Sam Alito in her pocket? Like, how is that going to go?
Oh, God. I mean, I imagine she's going to be very, very nice to everyone. But in terms of someone that she can maybe relate to, I'm going to go with Amy Coney Barrett.
What?
Yeah, because I just have it in my head that at some point Amy Coney Barrett's going to like corner Jackson in the bathroom and try to ask her about black hairstyles. Oh. You know, because Amy's got those. She's got black daughters. And I imagine at some point she might just be like, Kentaji. She's going to say her name wrong. She's not going to say Ketanji. She's going to say Kentaji.
Kentaji.
I want to tell you about this really cute hairstyle that my West African nanny came up with. I don't know if I did the Midwestern accent right.
It was a little Brooklyn, but it's okay.
It was a little Brooklyn, but her Midwestern nanny.
Yeah, you got the bend on the vowel there.
Yes, and then she might be like, are those extensions or is that your real hair? She's going to reach out.
I was going to say,
She's going to reach out and hopefully Sonia Sotomayor is going to come bursting out of a stall and slap her hand away and say, no, bad.
She's
we don't
like the Kool-Aid man. Busting through the skirt of stall. No, slap the hand.
But seriously, I can imagine, you know, I have no doubt that, like, on a personal level, that Amy Coney Barrett is nice.
Yeah, I'm sure she's completely fine.
I'm sure she's very nice. And as far as nice people are concerned, I have no doubt that Jackson and she will be able to sit next to each other at dinner and talk about their kids.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know?
Yeah. You know, I bet Justice Roberts is going to be delightful to her as well. You know, his role as the sort of self-proclaimed institutionalist among the conservatives right now, he will probably see this as proof that he's not racist if he's friends with her. Right? Like, see, here's my black friend.
My dog did not like that at all. Did you just say black friend? Woo, 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 woo!
You know, but truly, I hope for some of those relationships to be authentic and meaningful for her, because I do worry that it's a tough spot that she's stepping into, particularly in the short term.
Yeah, but you know what? She's stepped into tough spots like this her entire life.
Fair.
From the first day she stepped onto Harvard undergrad, she was a fish out of water. You know, I mean, it's same thing for me. It's like, We're always fish out of water. So by the time you're 51, which is how old she is, she's got ways to cope. She's got ways to deal.
Also, how exciting is it that she's 51?
Right.
That's like 25 years, gosh willing, like knock on wood, all of this stuff. Yeah. Like, that's decades.
That's decades.
But I do want to,
I wanted to circle back.
Oh, let's put a pin in that.
Let's put a pin in that and circle back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of having conservative buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Because studies have actually shown that when there is diversity on the court, not just diversity ethnicity-wise, but diversity of thought, that minds are changed.
Yeah.
But particularly when it comes to racial diversity, it has been shown that when there are black judges on a panel of judges, so for example, here we have a black justice, a liberal black justice on a panel of justices, that there is some capacity for change. Do I think it's really going to happen because the Federalist Society sort of runs this group of six and they're stuck together? But the idea that there is at least going to be that voice in the room,
yeah,
and that it might somewhere in the back of someone's mind at some point sink in. Who knows? You know what I mean? Maybe she'll be able to reach Roberts on something that is critical to black and brown people. I don't know. But just the idea that it's a possibility is hopeful.
Yeah, absolutely. As is what it must be like now for, I mean, you know, we have talked a little bit on this show, not a lot, but about the terrible gender disparity, too, in the attorneys who argue cases before the Supreme Court. I can't even imagine what this is going to do for the folks who are part and want to aspire to be part of the Supreme Court bar in terms of practitioners, to have a black woman sitting across from them as someone, I mean, truly, like, you know, these are the moments that matter. And so
there is a level of relief when you walk into a room before a panel of people you're supposed to present before, right? And there's someone who looks like you in the
room.
Like, there really is. I have breathed that sigh of relief. Even if it's not a black woman, a Latina woman, an Asian woman, someone of color in the room will automatically set me at ease. Obviously, knowing that there are racial issues that affect every group. Everyone can have prejudices against somebody. I can't guarantee that a non-black person of color is going to, quote unquote, have my back or make me not feel like crap, but just the face in the room makes a huge difference. Yeah. So I think there's got to be some sign of relief when, you know, someone walks into the Supreme Court and sees Jackson there. There's got to be a level of, oh, thank you, instead of just, you know, a sea of white faces and then Sonia Sotomayor and then Clarence Thomas just giving you the side eye off, over in the back. Like, nobody wants the Clarence Thomas side eye to be the only black thing you see in the room. That's just bad. It's bad for morale.
It totally is. And I'm also thinking of the fact that, you know, this is the first public defender confirmed to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Okay. What a
huge
stain
deal
on the court that we've never had a, you know, public defender as well, but huge, huge at a moment. And again, you know, Republicans made this absolutely terrible during the confirmation hearings, but just thinking about the ways in which she can now contribute to, you know, criminal justice jurisprudence in really meaningful ways. You've talked so much about how Sotomayor, particularly in Utah v. Strife, right, the racial profiling cases really talks about the personal harm now is, and she's a prosecutor, right? Sotomayor is a former prosecutor. So now a former public defender can come and weigh in on that. And to have that, you know, I also think it's interesting to think about what the law looks like when a former prosecutor and a former public defender are end up on sort of the same side of an issue and moving that forward. Lots of exciting stuff.
So much exciting stuff. I have a question for you now.
Okay.
What are the big cases that are coming up that she's going to be weighing in on? Do we have any abortion cases next term?
No abortion just yet.
No abortion just yet. Okay. Yes. Okay. But what else do we got on tap?
But I mean, we don't need an abortion case till, you know,
to have a good
while.
Time.
To have a good time. Full disclosure, I've been thinking and singing No More a Bobo to the tune of No Sleep Till Brooklyn all day as we've been thinking about this. No more a Bobo. Bobo. there is not a big Supreme Court or a big abortion case on the court's term for next year yet. You know, I suppose Texas could or some, one of the bounty bans could eventually work its way up after Dobbs versus JWU. But we don't need an abortion case to have a big term because we've got a couple of doozies already. There's the affirmative action case, which we talked about, which she said, given her role on the Board of Overseers at Harvard, which it hurts me to say Board of Overseers. I'm sorry. I just got to say it like Harvard. Could you change the title? Overseers is a little slavey.
Slavey.
Just saying that she's going to recuse herself from that, which, you know, I mean,
fair enough, but I really don't want her to.
That's unfortunate, you know, but I appreciate integrity and ethics from someone on the Supreme Court. Yeah, Clarence Thomas.
Exactly.
There's a huge religious imposition, religious freedom case that we haven't even yet had a chance to dive into called 303 Creative. This is, for our longtime listeners, first-time callers, basically, I am so on it today, a case out of the 10th Circuit that looks a lot like Masterpiece Cake Shop. So Masterpiece Cake Shop was that case from a couple terms ago where the baker didn't want to bake cakes for same-sex couples and said that it was against his religious beliefs. He had a religious objection to marriage equality. And the Supreme Court kicked the can on that case and said, functionally, the state of Colorado was mean to the baker when it was investigated in the civil rights charge.
So mean
by saying that there was a history in Christianity of using religion as a way to racially discriminate. That's mean. The truth is mean, Imani.
Yeah,
but anyway, I digress.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I digress. The sort of reboot of that case will be before the Supreme Court, this time involving doing website designs for gay couples and the likelihood of creating a First Amendment carve-out that would allow evangelicals to use their religion to discriminate against folks. So that's fun.
I mean, but like, to be fair, there is a specific verse in the Bible about making websites for gay people.
Like,
Jesus was very prescient when it came to the internet. And he knew at some point there's going to be some gay couple that'd be like, hey, I want a website. And he was not going to have it. So he made sure to write a little verse about it.
It's going to be bad on the religious liberties. But here's a case that I'm really worried about that we'll probably end up talking a lot about next term. It's going to be bad. So it's Halan versus Bracken. And this is a case where functionally white evangelicals are looking to upend the Indian Child Welfare Act. And, you know, so this is a case where white evangelicals have forum shopped. They first sued it out in Reed O'Connor in the Northern District of Texas. Folks who listen to the podcast know that name is he's the judge who rules on everything conservatives love and everything and rules against everything progressives love. Their claim is that the Indian Child Welfare Act is racist, Imani.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's racist against white people.
Of course it is, because white people should have the right. They have the God-given right to take indigenous children away from their families and from their tribes, to break up those families and then just raise them as white people. Raise them on white Christian evangelical values.
Yep.
It's in the Constitution.
It is. It is in the Constitution. Article 4 of
white families should get all the babies. And also you should force everyone to have babies.
Right?
It's tragic, though. It's really tragic.
But it is a case that we will be talking about, I think, in more or less the same breath as the fallout from Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, because this is really a full-on, you know, assault on family structures here from top to bottom. You can't have choices about, you know, how to parent, when to parent, and then who gets to parent. Those are all the same conversations. And so, thankfully, we will have Justice Jackson able to weigh in on that as well, because it's a huge case that has really significant implications, not just for, you know, the indigenous folks in this country, obviously so, but when we see what conservatives are trying to do in terms of adoption and child care and foster care placements in general, in evangelical, in sort of claiming ownership of that in evangelical spaces, this is just, it's lining up to be a rough one. So, you know, good that she's there, because we'll need her clarity to get through some of those. So
that's right. I love that. We'll need her clarity. We're going to need her clarity.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad that she's now on the bench. She's going to be able to provide it.
Here's a fun thing. I've seen some folks on Twitter ask it, and I figure other folks may have the question. So maybe we get a second Supreme Court nomination possibility before Justice Jackson is confirmed.
You mean if Thomas.
He resigns. Case of the treasons.
Case he gets a case of the treasons.
Case of the treasons resigns.
So what happens then? So Mitch McConnell has already said that he's not going to fill a new seat. So so what's the finagle? What's the loophole?
So if it's before Republicans have the Senate, Biden could just replace Thomas with Jackson and then nominate someone new.
Oh. Wait, because has that been done before?
It has been. That's how Chief Justice John Roberts got to be Chief Justice John Roberts. Oh. We almost had a Justice Harriet Myers.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Harriet Myers.
Harriet Myers, for the youths on the podcast, was former President Bush's personal attorney and lackey, functionally. And she got nominated to the Supreme Court and then to replace Sandra Day O'Connor. And then that got pulled. And in the meantime, William Rehnquist died. And so we had John Roberts and Sam Alito all up in the mix at one time. Exciting stuff.
Good times.
So that is, ladies and gentlemen, how Justice John Roberts became Chief Justice John Roberts.
Well,
because he was originally nominated for O'Connor's seat and then got elevated.
Interesting.
It's cool stuff.
That is interesting. That's for all you SCOTUS nerds out there.
There you go. Thank you for indulging me.
I love it.
But I just was SCOTUS like, oh, wow, there is actually a timeline in theory that Jackson could replace Thomas.
And I honestly would love, I mean, I don't want anyone to die or
whatever. No,
I will. But if that situation were to arise, I would love to have that conversation, right? Yeah. I would love for Mitch McConnell to lose his freaking mind when Biden pulls something like that, if that were to happen, if someone should happen to resign and decide to spend some time on the island.
We're lawyers. We exist in hypotheticals.
Exactly. I love a good hypo. Ah, what else?
Yeah, what a day!
It's so exciting. It's really exciting. You know what else is exciting? I'm closing up my house tomorrow. Like, that is exciting. We got a black woman Supreme Court justice. We got a black woman in Colorado who's bought a house. Similar glow ups, I'm going to say.
Really, functionally.
Functionally the same. But I do want to tell you all about our first quarterly drop. We've got a special content drop, a special edition, if you want to call it that.
We're going continental with it, I see. Edition.
Special edition for le people. It's called Whose Choice, and it's all about essentially the youths, and pregnancy and abortion and the ways in which the system has seemingly conspired to make it virtually impossible for young people to access care and what that looks like, what that might look like in a post-Roe world.
Imani won't toot her own horn, but she wrote a really fantastic piece for this drop. I'm super excited about it.
It's all right. It's really all right. Good. But it's Caroline really Riley's got a banger of a piece. We've got Jacqueline Friedman, who did some work for us, wrote a piece that slaps. Oh, are we allowed to say slap yet? Is that too soon?
I didn't even catch that at first. I was like, wait, slaps bad? Oh, right. Slaps.
Her piece slaps. And we're just, it's going to be a good time to check out rewirenewsgroup.com. Jessica has written a lovely editor's note, which she, frankly, your editor's note, I think, made my piece better because you described my piece. I was like, oh, shit, I got to make my piece up to snuff.
I love being your hype man. It's my favorite.
You are my hype lady. So, check that out. If you want to talk about any of this stuff, you want to celebrate good times, come on. You can find me on Twitter at Angry Black Lady. You can find Jess on Twitter at Hegemami. You should follow Rewire News Group on all of our social channels, Instagram, Twitter, That's it. Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, this is a moment of joy. So celebrate this moment of joy.
Yeah.
Because we've earned it.
We have. We have. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of big fights we still have to deal with. But, man, sit in this moment. Enjoy it. Soak it in.
Speaking of big fights that we have to deal with, do you know what would help us to deal with those big fights? If you gave us some money, we need some money. We really do. So please go to rewirenewsgroup.com/donate. Dig into your pockets. Give us some ducats, some doubloons if you have them. We you take jewels. We take gold. Gold bars. We take them. We would really, really love your support. It helps us keep the podcast going. It keeps this, you know, it keeps the ship upright. You want us to be upright. You don't want us to sink. Right? Right. Of course. Woo! So excited. Ketanji Brown Jackson. Woo! Anyway, what are we going to do, Jess?
We'll see you on the tubes, folks.
See you on the tubes, folks.